Welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, email it to me, box13@greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/radiodetectives. Also, if you've not already, I do encourage you to check out my ebook, All I Needed to Know I Learned from Columbo. In it, I examine the careers and history of 7 great fictional detectives and life lessons that can be gathered from their careers. It is available as an ebook and audiobook through audible.com or the iTunes store. And you can find all my books, audiobooks, and ebooks at store.greatdetectives.net. Well, now it's time for today's episode of That Hammer Guy. The original air date is April the 20th of 1954, and the title is The More You Kill, The Simpler It Gets.
That Hammer Guy. A guy's kid's on a banana peel, and for everyone who goes to pick him up, 7 characters stand around and laugh. Yeah, the joke is always on the guy who gets hurt. But maybe you're even worse because you go in for the professional fight, the gentlemanly art of self-defense, the animal art of slaughter. But you go first to Max Brady because you figure it's a shame to pay for a ringside seat at a slaughter. As fight managers go, Max is a pretty decent guy, and he understands this.
This smart guy understands. You figure for this, a man shouldn't be forced to pay.
You had it just right, Max, 100%. Just like you had your take every week.
Please, Mike, don't remind me of how prosperous I am not.
With the stable of pugs you got, and especially that Mason kid moving up so fast?
Moving fast he is these days, but not so far up.
He's not hearing bells go off in his head yet.
Worse.
What could be worse for a fighter?
What's the worst thing for anybody? You know that, Mike. You're the expert on dames.
Maybe some of them aren't so bad.
Name one.
You got me there, Max.
Yeah, and this man Wakefield's got Bill Mason. He's got him good. He's strictly a wrong dame from the right side of the tracks. Why'd she have to come along? Are we 10 years looking for a kid who can cop a championship? Then she comes along, this Wakefield dame. I tell you, Mike, this ain't the usual dame.
They're all unusual. Unusually the same. This I know.
This you gotta prove to me.
For some lousy tickets to the fight?
For me, a personal favor? Well, Mike?
This Wakefield dame is from uptown, huh?
Strictly Park Avenue. But crazy.
Crazy how?
Crazy for the kicks. Why'd you have to pick on my Billy? They don't even speak the same language.
The same in any language, Max.
Hangs on them like a leash, won't let go. Got him breaking every rule in the book. Some days he's so brisk he can't go 2 rounds with a sparring bum.
Okay, I'll look up this Wakefield then.
Too far you don't have to look. She's upstairs in the training gym now watching Billy work out. I mean, getting worked over. You go up there, Mike, huh? You see how crazy she is.
You amble into the crowd, there's sweat and smell. They call a training gym. They're all there, just the way you left them the last time you dropped in. The hackers, the grifters, the punchies, the young kids with healthy muscles and sick ideas of glory and easy buck. You spot the Wakefield dame standing at the apron of the practice ring, a milk skull loose on her shoulders, her eyes tight on Billy Mason as he spars his interruptedly with her flabby butt. And right away, you see what Max Brady meant when he said she was kick crazy. Every time the pug slaps Billy in the face, her eyes light up like a pinball. You go over and get in between her and the ring.
Do you mind getting out of my way?
I've been hearing interesting things about you, Miss Wakefield.
Oh?
My name is Mike Hanna.
I'll try hard not to remember. Now, please stand aside.
You remind me of a dame called Madame Lepage.
Really?
Yeah, she was a cadre that her kids knitting while she gawked at the aristocrat's heads roll into the guillotine basket. In case you didn't know.
I know. The French Revolution always fascinated me.
Like fighting?
Like fighting.
Well, your boy up there is getting his head handed to him by that blubbery pug. Show him a little mercy and throw in your mink towel, lady. Too late. Down and out. Okay, Madame Defarge, now knit 3 and purl 1. Nan Wakefield brushes past you and climbs up into the ring. And a change in her shocks you when she lifts Billy Mason's head from the sweaty canvas and nestles it close to her tenderly. And when his tired, pained eyes open, a warm smile spreads over her face. Then she kisses his swollen lips and purrs softly in his ear. You'd like to think it's all sickening, but you can't. because for one long minute you imagine that your own ear is cauliflowered and caressed with husky whispers. You get out of there, but the Wakefield James perfume tails you like a hungry cat. Max Brady isn't in his office like he said he did. You try the corner pub where the fight crowd hangers-on hang out. Max hasn't shown there yet, so you slide onto a bar stool and wait. The thing of a perfume still smarts in your nostrils, so you try to erase it with a parade of bourbon. Did the bourbon work? In 10 drinks and 4 hours later, you reel out of the gin mill and set your compass for home. You open the front door and set a course for the bedroom.
Welcome home, Mike.
Your friend, Captain Pat Chambers, is sitting on the divan.
Charming place you got here.
Oh, I'd hoped you'd like it. I worked hard to make the color scheme suitable down to the last cigarette burn in the rut.
And nobody can ever accuse Mike Hammer of having good taste. That's what I always say.
What else do you say, Pat? I mean about being here.
Where you been all day?
The King Daisies.
Yeah, you smell it. Brewery daisies.
Since when do I have to account to you?
Look, even I get tired of that fresh talk of yours.
And all along I thought you loved me.
Come on, Mike, let's have it. Where you been?
My, don't we sound official?
This is official.
What's it about?
You're friendly with Max Brady.
What's he got to do with it?
I want an answer.
Okay, Max is a friend of mine. Matter of fact, I've been looking for him.
You saw him today.
I saw him this morning.
Not after that?
No. Now are you going to tell me what it's all about?
Yeah, now I'm going to tell you. I saw Max myself, only he didn't look so good. Max is dead. Didn't take you more than one guess, did it? Yeah, he's dead with a bullet hole clear through his head. Now, you tell me how it happened.
Me? How should I know?
You sure did happen here in your place?
What?
Take a look for yourself. Your bedroom's more in a mess than ever.
After you see what's left of Max Brady, you come back into the living room with Pat. He starts asking the questions, and you give the answers, but just the part you want to give him. You tell him Max has some trouble.
Well, he's got no troubles now, but you have.
You managed to talk Pat into half believing him.
Okay, Mike. But you knock off being Mother's little helper. Me and my squad are on this now, and I want no interference.
Somebody interfered with Max Brady's living. He needed your help, and you're not stopping now. You think you'll stop with the guy who hurt Max where he lived?
When he was alive.
You go back downtown to the training gym. The joint is almost emptied out, but the cloud of smell and sweat still hangs heavy in the air. Billy Mason is over in a corner working on the light bag.
You looking for someone?
Just found him.
I lost him again.
I checked around, Mason. Understand you were away from the gym here for a couple hours this afternoon.
I didn't think you were interested in fighting.
I'm interested in that game, too.
Yeah, so I noticed.
I noticed you noticed.
Yeah, don't worry me, Hammer. This is your part as a lady.
Story of my life.
I like short stories.
And short careers, according to Max Brady.
If Max sent you, go back and tell him.
No use telling Max anything now. It would go in one ear and out the other, just like the slug went through his head. Max is dead. Don't get hysterical with grief.
Why should I?
He brought you along.
He made dough on it.
And he lost plenty of sleep.
Hey, you make it up now.
Where were you this afternoon?
You're no cop.
Okay, I'll find out.
So go ahead, find out.
She made you change your mind about Max, didn't she?
Got a mind of my own. Nobody's gonna ruin my life outside the ring.
Good fighters live in the ring.
I spoke with one guy there. I didn't think any place to give up living when I signed with Max.
And neither did Max when he signed you.
I think he was a pretty great guy, don't you?
He was level, which is a lot more than you can say for most of the characters.
Well, let me tell you something. You think it's pretty crummy of me making a round tonight, don't you?
What do I care how crummy you get, but Max did.
Maybe you ought to know that even managers who go around acting like Sunday school teachers have their own special kind of nightlife.
What's that supposed to mean? It
means that maybe Brady wasn't a real live doll. You figure. You don't have to believe me. Check with Lou Bilaxi. He's no friend of mine.
No, but there's someone else who is.
Yeah. But just remember, Ned and I want to keep it that way.
Way I figure, Mason, if it's good enough for you, it's good enough for me.
A little too good for you, Hammer. But this is good enough.
Yeah, that suits you just right.
In just a moment, we'll return to the Mickey Spillane mystery, That Hammer Guy. And now back to the Mickey Spillane mystery, That Hammer Guy.
After a count as long as an Eskimo's winter, you come around and find yourself alone in the gym. You pick up the pieces and glue them together so they look like Mike Hammer. Then you remember the crack Billy Mason made about Max's special kind of nightlight. Then you feel uneasy because he mentioned Lou Biloxi's name in the next breath, and because you hate to think that Max would deal with a tin-horn scum like Biloxi. You go on a hunt for Biloxi, and you finally nail him in the steam room of an all-night Turkish bath.
Ouch. Why don't you look where you're going, you late McFoot?
Well, I didn't think you had any feelings for Biloxi.
Well, Mike Hammer. Taking this week, one too.
In a way.
Nothing like it. It'd have been dead years ago if not for this.
I know there must have been some reason you lived this long.
Okay, Hammer, what's bothering me?
You're a bright boy.
Just a fat boy. Nothing on my mind but losing weight.
Then put this on your mind. Max Brady was shot dead.
So?
So? Max Brady owned fighters and Lou Biloxi bet on him. So far, that's the only connection.
Well, so far, so good.
Maybe Brady likes the game too much to want to do just anything to win. Sometimes the wise money bull is like a loser. Maybe that's the connection.
You think that's a good connection with me? You got your wires crossed, Emma.
Maybe, but that's not the way Billy Mason sees it.
Mason sees only one thing these days, and the name is Man Wakefield.
If I ruled out every guy mixed up with a Jane, there'd be nobody left.
Not just mixed up, he's all mixed up.
You mean enough to kill somebody?
No, mixed up dead.
You tell me, Biloxi.
I'm busy with Lucian.
Well, you don't tell me, maybe he will. Well? Okay, I'll go back and see Mason again.
Oh, wait a minute.
Yeah?
What did you say the first time?
Enough.
The crumb. Chicken battle around.
The meaning on you, sir?
Not me. I don't dirty my hands with fighters.
Oh, no, you're a real clean fat pup.
But Brady chicken battle. Broke training all over the place with that Clark Avenue dish. That monkey around with white.
Come on, Biloxi, let's have it. I'm sweating bullets in here, and people are dying to talk to me in comfortable places. If you want it, you can talk to the cops. You like hot spots.
Somebody was trying to reach Mason through Brady. I'm not saying it did. Who it was.
That's because you're not through saying.
Look, Emma.
You're in this up to your fat chin, Biloxi. You want to take the rap of the first guy home with a cute story?
Okay, Emma, but you protect me.
Keep talking.
Look. If this is the way the gimmick went, I'd...
The slugs whizzed past you and slapped into Biloxi. He rose off the steam room bench like a sack of potatoes.
I figured every hour and year after year to my life.
You scramble across the room, but the steam makes the ceiling dirty, and you smack into a wall full of wet towels. When you finally yank open the door, nobody's outside. By the time you get back to Biloxi, he's had it. Nothing to do now but put through a call to Pat.
So this is your idea of no interference?
You light up a cigarette while he says the rest of his piece through the phone.
When are you ever going to get us through that thick skull of yours that official business is official?
But I just happened to come down to the Turkish bath. I was only minding my own business.
You could start trouble at a church supper.
But Pat...
Don't pat me. We're coming down to pick up the body. Now you get lost and fast. I'll pick you up too.
Take Pat's advice about getting out of there and fast. But you don't take his advice about staying out the case. You drive your coupe up to Park Avenue where the Wakefields hang out. You want to see the dame again for at least two reasons. A butler who looks like the Lord Mayor of London lets you in and leads you to a living room that could take the place of Madison Square Garden.
How do you do, Mr. Emma? I'm Henry Wakefield.
Man's father has all the dignity of a courthouse front. Yet you can see some of the sadness behind the facade.
I... understand you've come to see my daughter.
Yes, that's right, Mr. Wakefield.
Anything I can help you with?
Well, I'd like to talk to Nan personally, if you don't mind.
Nan doesn't live here.
Oh?
Would you like her address?
Please.
I'm afraid I can't guarantee you she'll be there. However, if it is urgent, you may call her from here and see if she's in.
No, thanks. I'll take potluck.
For some time now, potluck is all any of us have had with Nan.
Oh? I had an idea, Mr. Wakefield. Things would be different here.
Different than what, Mr. Hammer?
Well, I suppose I'm stepping out of line talking this way.
Please continue. If it concerns my daughter, I would like to know. Different from what, Mr. Hammer?
Different than they are with her friends downtown. But maybe you don't know anything about that.
I'm sorry to say I do. She's a strange girl. She has everything here. I've spared nothing, and she seeks out shabby alliances.
Now, this time, that's a little worse than shabby.
I'm afraid I don't get the significance of that remark, Mr. Hammer.
All depends on the significance to you of murder.
Murder? No, Mr. Hammer. Nan does have odd ways, but I assure you she is no murderer.
How do you know?
How do you really know what people are capable of? Even your own daughter.
Mr. Hammer, what business are you in?
I'm a private investigator.
I see. Mr. Hammer, I'm willing to pay you handsomely.
To keep the good name of Wakefield out of it.
No, the only thing that counts is my daughter. I know she isn't involved in murder. All I want you to do is see that she is not involved. Now, as for the amount...
You haven't got that much money, Mr. Wakefield. There's no such thing as being just a little guilty.
Please, Mr. Hammer.
I'm sorry for you, Mr. Wakefield. Yeah, I'm sorry when the father has to pay for the sins of the child. To get man's address from a father, it's only 30 blocks down to the village. But you know that attitude is really the distance between people, not places. You always thought you were an expert on why girls leave home, but when you amble into the walk-up when Ann Wakefield has her fight, you feel as if you just switched from a good bottle of bonded bourbon to a dirty glass of stale beer. As your finger jams the doorbell, you wonder why this particular dame left home. The door is opened, but not by Nan.
What do you want, Hammer?
Billy Mason glares at you like a Republican glaring at a Democrat around election time.
Who invited you?
Maybe, Nan.
Well, you try to kid.
Who are you?
I don't want any riffraff like you around here.
Only fancy prize fighters, huh?
You don't have a very good memory, do you, Hammer?
I still haven't forgot about Max Brady.
He doesn't count.
Then why should Lou Biloxi? He's dead, too, haven't you heard?
He'll never be missed.
Think that excuse will stand up in court?
I don't know anything about courts. All I know is about fighting. Remember that now.
Oh, you mean the clip you gave me, Scott? No style at all. That fall I took was a fix.
Okay, then let's try another round.
Yeah, that's a little better. That would add Max's approval. But the question is, can you take a good punch? That calls for genuine spank. Up with Billy Mason. He's suddenly distracted. He's sour. Too good for you and your sorry seven. Think about it in the grip. But you just take it, not saying a word, because I know it's easier to get your head torn up than to be laughed at. You keep taking it. Until all you can make out is the crimson of your own blood and fists as they keep stabbing you in your face. And then you go down. But not out, as you're afraid. He's dragging you up for the kill. You're almost glad about this when you hear Nan's voice.
Stop it.
Baby.
Let him alone.
He asked for it. That's what I like to give it the most, when he asks for
it. I said let him go.
Man, and he's got it coming.
Get out. Let him alone, you animal. And get out.
In just a moment, we'll return to the Mickey Spillane mystery, That Hammer Guy.
It makes no difference, because either way you crossed over into the senseless world of all good knockout victims. And when you finally come around, you know how a porterhouse must feel when it's in through a grinder.
This will make it better, Mark.
But you're a lucky hamburger at that, because your pulp of the face is being stroked with compresses by Nan Wakefield.
Better now?
That was a great fight. I'll be right home, Mom.
You'd better wait a few days. I don't think you'll recognize me.
Twist my arm and I'll wait a month.
Now I know you better.
Hey, go easy. I'm not that much better.
Just testing.
You know what I think?
Just about?
I think you get a crazy bang out of beat up hurt guys the way some dames feel about Minka.
Minka's so commonplace. Easy to get.
Yeah, when you start having it for baby carriage covers.
The material things aren't everything in life, Mike.
Having them never hurt anybody.
Don't be too sure.
Poor little rich girl.
Everybody's looking for something in life.
Like you, getting a bang out of taking care of hurt guys.
An objection now?
Personally, no.
But it does bother you somehow. It
merely impresses me. It sort of fits into the picture of Max Brady's death. Max always wanted his boys to win.
Always working, right?
That's a known to knock off.
The knockoff now.
Just proves how dull all work can be, doesn't it?
You don't know that.
I mean, as long as I get my head bashed in first.
Some people like a good loser.
And some people help them stay losers.
Is that the best you can do? Talk.
After Mason's work out on me, I got nothing going for me but my head. I'll take a rain check for when the scars heal.
I only play scheduled games.
Okay, so I promise to wear a bloody nose.
Promises don't mean a thing. You live only on trouble. You don't know what fun is.
That's where you're wrong. I invented the game. Only first things first, and first comes Mike Hammer himself. And I'm the closest thing to a suspect the cops have of the murder of two guys. But you know more than I do.
Only about fun.
It's not funny to your old man.
You spoke to my father?
Yeah. I don't think he's not chewed up inside over your clowning around in the lower depths.
A very impressive man, my father.
A very sad man. But that doesn't mean anything to you.
The conversation has taken a very boring turn, I'm afraid.
What should I do? Bash my head against the wall to get it interesting again?
There's nothing you can do now. Get out of here.
A house doesn't have to fall on you to know that the Wakefield dame and you have had it. And that what she knows is going to stay her business. You leave her with a bite of regret because she could start a fire in a cold storage vault. Then you push her off to Billy Mason's place. You think it's still easier to do business with a muscled mug than with a dame who's flipped. You want to surprise Mason, so you let yourself in through a fire escape window, but you're the one who's in for the surprise.
Mr. Hammer.
Everything about Henry Wakefield is still dignified. Everything but the gun he points at you.
I didn't expect to meet you so soon again, Mr. Hammer.
But you were going to look me up.
I'm sure you understand why now.
You know, in a way, I still feel sorry for you.
You needn't. My problem will be solved shortly.
Don't you wish it? Your daughter will find another guy.
This time she might change.
No more than you will. And murder's only made you worse.
I did what I had to do. But for man's sake, I can explain.
It's not hard to figure out now. You wanted Billy Mason to be a loser, so you got the Loxie to put in a fix with Billy.
Mason would then be no longer attractive to her.
That's where your daughter double-crossed you. She loves a loser. But why Max Brady?
Somehow he found out. He went to your place for protection.
But you got there before I did.
And you got to Biloxi before I.
But that one didn't do either of us any good.
But this does.
Still Mason.
Yes. There won't be when he opens that door and walks in.
Murder gets easier if it goes along, Wakefield.
No, it just seems to become more necessary.
Well, you can stop now.
You know I can't.
And you know it's useless.
Nothing I do for my daughter is useless.
You've already done enough to her.
I've given her everything.
Yeah, everything but the right to live freely. No guy was good or decent enough for her.
Makes no difference what you say. I'll continue to do what's best for my daughter.
You know you can't reason with him. He keeps one eye on you and the other on the door. You know you're walking around the crater of a volcano. You know it's going to erupt the second that door opens. Time drags by like the feet of a guy walking the last mile. And then you hear the key turn in the lock. You see Wakefield's finger tightening on the trigger. When the door starts to open, you close your eyes like you were going to get the slug yourself.
Oh, good Lord. Man, darling. I didn't know it was going to be you. I thought it was Mason coming in. Man, call a doctor.
It's only a shoulder. There's time for a doctor.
Man.
Hello, Mike. I'm looking for you.
I'll take care of her.
No, go away. Man, dear, I'm here. I'll take care of you, darling. You'll be all right.
Don't you look after me. Don't you ever dare touch me. Don't you ever dare. Mike. Get him away from me. Please, get him away.
The ambulance takes Nan Wakefield away, and Pat Chambers takes her father. You give Pat the whole story, and he forgives you for your interference. But when you leave Pat's office, you know that the story isn't finished yet. Not for Nan Wakefield, or for you. Now she has to relearn all about love. You're going to do what you can to be a good teacher.
This This is Andrea J. Graham, author of the Web Surfer series. Oh, and A Madam's Wife. You're listening to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio.
As for Hammer's concluding line, yeah, dating Mike Hammer, that's just what she needs. Though I do give them credit for having an odd, but somewhat interesting twist on why she didn't mind her boyfriend losing fights. It certainly beats the more typical explanation of her somehow being in cahoots with those who are trying to fix fights. All right, well, now off to listener comments and feedback. And I received a message on Facebook. Brett says, don't change your intro music. That guy apparently doesn't understand how intro music works. It's supposed to stay the same, and I'm rather fond of it. On Twitter, Fox Works tweets, I like the theme music and would hate to see it go. I wonder whether any listeners might make a modern interpretation. Well, I appreciate the comments. Obviously, there have been many, many radio and television programs that have kept the same theme throughout. There have also been a few that have changed a theme, sometimes to a lot of negative reaction. Many fans were not happy when the television series Monk changed from its first season's instrumental theme to one that was sung by Randy Newman. And what I've been hearing has been mostly supportive of our current theme, but I do kind of like the idea of a remix of sort of the current classical theme we have. As listeners who also read the website know, I've listened to the great British series Jago and Lightfoot, and about 9 or 10 series in, they slightly tweak the theme. It still had the same general musical feel, but it was just like a slight reinterpretation that gave it a bit of a freshness. So if anyone wants to take a crack at it, I don't think I'd want some reinterpretation that was offbeat, like, you know, playing the theme while, you know, with a, you know, rock beat as an anthem about great detectives is sung. That probably wouldn't work. But I'd be open to a good remix that was in spirit of the original. Thanks so much for the comments on this issue. I really do appreciate everyone's thoughts on this. That will do it for today. Reminder, check out our YouTube archive. More than 2,000 videos there with past episodes of the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio, Video Theater, Amazing World of Radio, and The War. Also, become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/radiodetectives, and follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.